just a quick one on the point raised by Mr. Bosman. About us having to come together, then, and the response that they gave was that this is our only time that we have as a committee. But I speak on Wednesday, we shall be better to look into the report and consider it. I think sometime in July was better to go on an event. Now will it be a quite rather given date? I think if I'm not mistaken, around 15th of July. So clearly, we do not have that amount of time. It shall be expected of us that we maximize the time that we have as much as we can. And pushing this part, as we said earlier, we shall be hitting the ground running. And we shall be expected to lots and lots of things. I must also mention that much as we have heard this budget presented, we also get to be accorded an opportunity to follow this through what they refer to as quarterly reviews, which we get from the department. It's not a matter wherein we come and be according to such a budget and a set plan and so on, and then at the end of the year, financial year end, we are then given an opportunity. There are opportunities being given. I also noted that it's understandable that, you know, the officials, we do not know the names of members. We must always insist when making or commenting on whatever has been said by other members of parliament, as member from EA, as member from EFF, as member from we are a committee of parliament, yes, made up of political parties, but when we meet in the committee, we try and minimize as much as we can any such identifications. Because we believe that water has no political party tag. Water and sanitation is a matter that really we must all unite about and begin to say, let's make a difference in the lives of our people. This is a matter that is found in our Bill of Rights now, Constitution Section 27, Subsection 1, Subsection 2, Subsection B. Everyone has a right to have access to sufficient food and water. So what we are dealing here with is that it's a matter in our constitution that is clearly and very much articulated. So all what we have been seeing, we should really strive towards doing away with all those protests. And it can only be through work, honestly, that we do as government department. Our role is to play that oversight so that that constitutional imperative is given meaning. Members, this then becomes an opportunity for us to, whilst members are still thinking, I should really say just overall what you are listening to the department talking about consistently, which is good. I must also mention jobs all the time. I am very keen at two levels. If the partner talks to all these infrastructure development projects, on one hand, whatever we do as a department, you might have heard all those classifications earlier on, you have been improving over time. Equally important are those management of finances. But most important for me is an improvement of people's lives for the better. If you are to spend about 95% of the norm, am I right, of your budget, for me, 98% is immaterial for me, to be quite frank. What is more material for me, whether we are making a dent in improving our people's life for the better. And 98 is fine, but most important for me, that is one part in all of these projects that we are about. And the second element to that, yes, jobs are important, but enterprise development, especially for black people, I'm very empathetic and I'm very unapologetic. And then I was very keen, a number of water boards, they get to be implementing agents, if I'm not mistaken. Understand that there is such emphasis on the promotion of black business. And also importantly, in those local areas, there equally be such promotion of local economic development. To what extent are we as water boards, as department, laying emphasis on that? I'll be very, very keen to get a sense. Yes, it is not in your report. It is not a period for us to account. It is planning. It is budgeting. How that budgeting, how that planning, equally for me, must talk through those issues. So that if it is not happening, it must not be business as usual. If it is not happening, it must happen in this financial year that we are about. If it is not happening. While numbers were still taking, just the time I wish to raise that one question for Mrs. Madeline. Not yet.
Thank you, Chair. Secretary, we have a challenge. You know, when nothing is happening, the blame is put to the President and the ANC. So we are having a challenge here that when I'm listening to the presentation, my interest is on how are we going to, is there anything that the President has talked about to is going to be resolved? Because the President is giving the State of the Nation, depending on departments, not himself to go and implement the promises that he gave. So on that message, I want to check with the department in terms of administration. Did they reach the 2% with people with disabilities? Did they contribute to assist the country to reach the 2% on people with disabilities? If not, what are the plans to reach that percentage? Also, the budget of the department, they use consultants on their, if you can look at the budget here. We also have a challenge that we want to reduce the use of consultants. We know that the department, there are some programs that you want, that need a consultant. But do they have any plans maybe to reduce the use of consultants, because they have bazaars in the department that they give to use outside, so that they may check where the scarce is that they have in the department and to address the issue of consultants. Are they having that plan to do that? And we are using consultants, but we are still having a challenge of water, like the example of Blue Morph. Why are we still having those challenges on the issue of Blue Drop and the Green Drop? we are still having challenges, but you are saying we are using this to measure the challenges on having clean water on and using the green drop. What are these consultants doing to prevent those such challenges that we have in Bloemhof? And also in municipal assistance support. You know, I don't know if it's only me who think that the bulk water is under the national department. But we are having challenges around Madiba. I'm not talking about the issues of the marsh and everything. But they are using the dam in after days, and that water is not clean. People are complaining. Is that the municipality, is the municipality that has clean water, or is national? And if it's national, why are we having such challenges when we are having people in the department? And we have seen that you underspend on your vacancies. If it's funded vacancies, why are we having such underfunding? What are the challenges that we may have underspending on vacancies while we are having challenges on a youth that is having a not working? I think Chair, I'm fine, Chair.
Mr. Mukwandamana, noted.
Thanks, Chair. I've got I think three issues to raise with the department. Other issues, I think Honorable Malik raised. One, Chair, it's in relation to the spending of the budget by the department. Very much tremendous. Like you have said, is that particular budget, I mean, touching positively the life of the ordinary people? Because to me, you can spend your budget 100%, but if the impact of that particular budget is not positive to the people that are supposed to, then there is a problem, Chairperson. There is a very, very, very big distance between the budget and the output which that particular budget is supposed to. An example to that too is with regards to municipalities that have got water service authority status. I understand that the department has got the overall accountability in relation to that. But if today you still have a situation where your municipal infrastructure grant are diverted to something else which is not meant for, it's a problem. It's a well-known fact that there are municipalities in the country that are spending money that are geared for water to something else. And I don't think the department has got a monitoring tool in relation to that. If it's there, I think they should put it out to the committee. Number three, Chair, it's in relation to the skills development. I heard the DG talking about the intake of graduates from universities, learnership, and so on. It has not come out very clear from the department in terms of skills development itself, taking students from high school. Because I understand that this is an implementing department. You need engineers, actually, but we have not heard from you whether you have got bursaries in relation to that. For example, the Department of Health has got a program of producing doctors. I don't think the Department of Water Affairs will leave that particular responsibility to the Department of Higher Education. I think it's not coming very clear in relation to that. Thanks.
Mr. Mugula?
much, Chair, for the opportunity. And my intent is that the water is the basic service that should be afforded to every member of the South African community. But looking at what has been happening, when there are these strikes, safe strikes, the issue of water is on top. I've heard the DG speaking about grants that are offered to municipalities. The question comes then, are these grants used effectively and efficiently for the benefit of the communities? If the answer is yes, why is life? If the answer is no, what is the department doing? What is the trend? Because now everyone is speaking about radical. We are speaking about radical change. What are we doing? What is our plan for radical monitoring and evaluation of what we give to municipalities to make sure that every cent that is used is spent on water, not any other thing else? Then the other question that said is the centralized planning. We have spoken, we have mentioned many departments, but I'll only speak about Cox and Municipality of Rongasas here, the Department of Water and Sanitation. Do we have any centralized planning? The centralized planning. What we want the Department of Water Affairs and Sanitation speaking is also spoken by Cox. It's also spoken by municipalities. So that the synergy, we don't duplicate activities. And maybe the last question, Chairperson, will be, if you can speak about challenges, what are the challenges faced by all these entities that we are working with here? That may hamper service delivery. And if there are challenges, what are their attempts to recover from those entities? Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you, Chair. Also, I mean, the presentation from department as well as from the entities. I just want, I mean, to refer to a report that was presented here, I think it was from the research, that has revealed that the department has failed to spend the budget accordingly, referring to the vacancies in the department that are not filled. As we all know, that unemployment rate is what I mean people are saying, but the department is also responsible to ensure that unemployment is reversed. But in that case, it is showing that an organogram of the department is informed by the needs, I mean, in the budget. So the two must work together. So now if, I mean, there is a budget in place and an organogram that is not, having people to perform the duties, but they are part of the organogram, but there are no people to perform the duties in regard to the program and the performance plan. I just want to know how many vacancies that are not filled in the department right now, and what are the constraints to having these vacancies not filled in the department. Two, my observation, or my question with respect to observation, what is happening between the municipalities and the department, including the Department of Human Settlement. It is clear that most of the problems are getting on the ground about the housing backlog. We find that they will say there is no water programs available for programs of housing by the local municipality. Now I'm having a problem that when the department is starting and giving funds to municipalities, what happens with the priorities of the local municipality in regard to the priorities by the district? Because the Department of Finance will say, yes, we can approve the housing project, but on condition that there are funds available. The local municipality will say, we have done our priorities in terms of the integrated development plan. But the district now is having projects that are not in line with the municipal priorities. What is the department doing when funding are being made to district to ensure that what the district is prioritizing is in line with what the local municipality is prioritizing? And also the monitoring of the funds, that is the third one. You will find that the municipality or a district is having an account where all the monies of the department are put together. And it becomes very, very difficult now to monitor the spending of that money. Because when the municipality is failing to collect the revenue and will end up using the funds from the department to pay operational expenses like employees. So that's why I'm saying, if I can get clarity, how do you monitor that the funds from the Department of Water is not used by the municipality in functions that are not meant for? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I've got numerous concerns. If you look at Program 3, where the department say that they monitor the rivers, with that I've got a huge problem. And I want to use an example that was mentioned, my being as an example. In the Swart Spruit, the Rietfontein effluent planted drops the effluent into the Swart Spruit that runs into the Hartbeespoort Dam. The effluent coliform bacteria in that was measured, the last measurement was on the 15th or the 5th of this year, is 820,000. Now, who's monitoring this? This is going into the Hartbeespoort Dam. It's going downstream to Brits. It's going downstream to Rooikoppies and eventually it goes to Valkop with the canal, where Magalies draws water also to Keen. I cannot understand that if this is documentation we have, where Water Lab has made these tests, that there's nobody acting to stop that municipality of putting fluid into, raw sewer into the Swart Spruit Dam at Danadu. Which is more alarming was that there was discussions with the previous minister about it. The previous minister stays in that same state. And there was no action taken about it. Secondly, it was mentioned that MIG funds. We all know what municipality does with MIG funds and the equitable share. It's not spent for what it should be spent. And it should be ring-fenced. We must make sure that it be used for what it's being given for. The biggest problem, and another problem that we have, using Maribeng just as an example again, in 2009, the municipality was put under administration. Your department has appointed Magalies Water to do upgrade on the bond, which cost in the region of 10 million rand, which your department paid. And after that had been done, it was left for the municipality to run again. Just to find out in 2013, it's even in a worse state, where people died for water in that area. You sit with a situation that you've got a 60 megaliter plant in Maribeng that eventually only produces 40 megaliters of water. There is a capacity of 60, and then we want to upgrade this to an 80 megaliter plant that will cost someone in the order of 200 million rand. My question is, if a municipality that is one of these 152 municipalities that's got a water service authority, has got a license, if they cannot manage, why don't your department take over that function? Sell bulk water then to that municipality. But let's make sure that the people then get water. Those are the questions. The losses, just by adding, water is becoming expensive. We are not spending in municipalities the money that we need to spend. Water goes up in areas, some of the areas going up 18%. Where is that money going? Not into the infrastructure. It goes into salaries. It's not monitored. So, like electricity is being regulated, when NERSA indicates to a municipality what the increase on water should be, I think there should be a regulation on water as well, to give them a guideline what you will be allowed to increase water. Last year it was 20%, this year it's 18%, next year it's going to be another 18%. For the poorest of the poor, this is becoming, you know, they're not seeing the water. People that had, 2 years ago, had running water in their houses, they've got someone now standing with buckets and waiting for a tanker to deliver water in that same area. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Mponta.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got only one question, but before I ask that one question, Chairperson, I cannot help not be parochial when I look at page 56 of this book, where I see the Pomola Poor Bank Water Scheme being under construction, servicing Mukayawuti. That makes me a happier man, Chairperson. I'll be following that one. I'll be watching the space. But my question is page 80 of the annual settlement plan, page 80. And again, there, I think it's very helpful when the department against its objectives, what it wants to do, giving us what it considers as risk factors which may impede the delivery or the implementation of its objectives, where they give us the risk description, causes of the risk, but most importantly, the mitigating measures that the department intends adopting against that risk. My question is, Chair, is it possible for the department to indicate the time frames against those mitigating measures, because otherwise this may remain just a wish list. Thank you.
Did I see you, Ms. Virakul? Did I see your hand up? Did I see your hand?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is as a department, I had them during their presentation indicating that there's three core objectives, and one among those is that one of contributing to the economy and the job creation. The job creation part they've already alluded on, but economically, I'm not so sure whether the department is planning or they are shifting the responsibility to make sure that the economy of our country is growing, since they do have that as one of their objectives. Another issue is that one, I just wanted to check if they do have a time frame. You know, in our introduction, them indicating that they are from Department of Water Affairs. And we know very well that we no longer have that department. We have the Department of Water Affairs and Department of Water and Sanitation. So do they have a time frame on when are they going to erect the tube in order to be a department? Since it has been stated by the President during his State of the Nation address. Thank you.
Okay. Mama Connor.
Okwanje kunqala kakhulu obunye sebekushilo ozakwethu. Kuleyo msebenzi bengithi ngicela ukwazi. Laba imisebenzi abakhuluma ngayo, bakhuluma ngayo lamanto khona agcwele umhlaba wonke na. Ngokumasipala mina engikwaziyo kuyimanje, abantu abagcwele abakhashwe bona, yila bantu babizwa umthoko iqolo, abasebenza mhlawumbe o-2 weeks abasasebenzi. Ngabe yibo laba bathi baqashiwe. Noma bathi bazobenzela umsebenzi. Okunye bese ngibuza. Kodwa lolu hlelo belukhona before. Lolu loba abantu belaba kamasipala bebehamba benza lesamamitha abedile. But now, ilese yikhona. Sekuqhamuka abantu laba ey'nkontrakte. Yebo khona siyazi ukuthi khona lokho okuvela ukuthi kwenziwa amahluba angcono kubantu bathi abantu namuntu bathole umsebenzi. Lapho bantu babelabalandela into abheke ukuthi if uma ngabe benzenza i-contraction ukuthi bafake amamitha noma bafake amapayipi bakwenza kahle yini awusali umsebenzi ube damage mhlakhe njengokuthi hambe bafake ipayipi lamanzi manje or ngesuwa jangifake kodwa ngikhuluma kungamanzi after that 3 months uthole ukuthi asisune sikweleto ngahlanzi through laba bantu bebesebenza ngey'nkontrakti nalaba-ke amamitha reading abantu labafundi ama-estimator ithole ukuthi wena emzini wakho nesikweletu sika-155,000 samanzi lapho ugcine sokhama kumasipala nakeze uzo-check-a ngempela ukuthi ngempela unaso sikweletu noma kukhonani okuyikhala bayafika bathola ngiliki kodwa ekugcineni ba-remove le nto imitha yakho after that abashiye even lo-2 liter a day okunye-ke kokugcina lokhu yilokhu kokuthi if umasipala eletha ilento ebizwa ngokuthi development kubantu kuyiqiniso noma kusemthethweni yini ukuthi ahambe abheke ukuthi lela qembu elilapha liyiphi i-organization kufanele bayithole i-developer noma intuthu laba bangayi na imibuzo lo ebengizocela ukuza noma abantu base-South Africa uma belethela intuthuko kufuneke iye kubona njengoba njalo nalesi isicelo sokuthi kuyafuneka nelingababheka abantu ukuthi basakuza nezinkomo amanzi through lezi zinto zokuthi intuthuko mayehla iswala national ithi mathi iyaphansi lapha kwamasipala besikhetha ibheke ukuthi okay langapha kulaba kakhuluma khulu abasimakaga ngoba hlezi beyilungele bayigqokile idoka njengoligqokile nje ayinabo indaba yabo baphuza amanzi nezilwane nezimpongolo. Ngiyacela ilokho nje kuAfrika. Okunye kwese ngigxisele nje sizohamba hamba ngifunde nami ngimisele kodwa ukuthi ngikhulume ngoba inhloso yami ukuthi sivele abantu bakithi base-South Africa abahluphekayo abasebehlupheka iminyaka emide benethemba lokuthi uma bebona bazoyithola intuthuko hhayi ukuthi intuthuko thuma yize ngicashe ukuthi wena uyiliphi iqembu ngicela lo nto ukuthi ngempela lo mnyango okhona manje la yamanzi noma nathi esikhona la nosihlalo wethu lanjalo kasibheke ukuthi omasipala ngempela yini abayenzayo ngoba into zakubhala kumi namase ngifila ngiyaboshe lakhuluma ne-South Africa as a whole noma akakhulunye ukuthi wena ukuliphi iqembu uyinhloboni yomuntu. Ngiyabonga.
Sorry. Wait, want to do a quick translation?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I just want to find out from the department, because there are people who are working temporarily, as to whether, when are those people going to be employed permanently? That is point number one that she raised. Secondly, she raised the issue of meter readers. She's concerned about these people as to whether are they being monitored. Because we find that at the end of the day, there are people who work as contractors, and these people, they always estimate or they make estimations. At the end of the day, you find that the person has got a bill that costs close to 155,000 prayers. So she wants to know as to what is it that the department is doing about that. Thirdly, she's concerned about the development. She wants to know as to whether the development, does it look as to which political party does a person belong to? She's more concerned that if development must go on, must address all the people of South Africa, not just the specific. Thank you. Asma?
Thank you, Chair. I forgot my last question. I just want clarity, Chair, on issue of water licensing. Because we have challenges in terms of people who are living in farming areas like Keteng Revere. They have a challenge of water and there's water in their farm and the owner doesn't want the municipality to connect water on that place. So we want to understand what is happening about licensing of water and where people live. How are they going to address that issue? Thanks.
Okay. Will you switch off your mic, Mr. Potter?
I did usually in the family Savuya, but it department is sitting in the good. Was September. But we did not know you only in the Amanzi and sanitation. They are Vuya to Baukon and Mupati from it. Ukwenze the local, but we for money, Lord. I think I guess it's a good thing. Amalungu bahulumende akambe ke aluzi kubirisha afuyele nempendulo ngoba imillion land development goals sisesemva kakhulu thina kwi-sanitation nakwi-water. Okugqibela ke ndifuna ukuthi isikalo ingxaki yamanzi ayi-district abelonga abesedistrictini i-province engakwaziyona ukuba ibe negalelo. Inobunzima ngakhe ke omphathiswa bakhe basincedisa uba la manzi ngoba kuthiwe yi-competence ye-district ngoku kucacile intoyoba ayikwazi ke ngokuba i-province noba sekhuba unzima ingenelele. Ndifuna ke ke side sibe khona esisombululo soba province mayide sibe nako ukuncedisa kulo meko. Enkosi.
And the question, obviously. Just one last one from where I am seated. The content advisor and the researcher spoke about some defiance by municipalities on tariffs. I don't get that more clear. With all the tariffs that go up and down, the municipalities are defying. I couldn't get that one. If we could just get a... I'm also very keen, the matter that was raised by the content advisor and the researcher, about grants. Typically, when grants are allocated to anybody, we usually have a major problem of accountability to an extent where we are not even able to measure if any successes we can talk about. So it's literally, you know, throwing grants and anybody literally receiving. If we could be able to get a sense of measurement mechanisms that are applied on such kind of receipts by whoever, because it's a matter that is coordinated at the National Department of Water Affairs now. The last one, I just wanted to make a comment. Numbers, we have been commenting and asking questions. The line again is very thin. In fact, it's not even thin, it's very thick, I must say. We are in planning, but in budgeting. some of the questions that we're asking, they have to do with reporting. So that we are clear ourselves as well. At the end of each financial year, that is what they refer to as annual reports. Some of the questions that we are asking relate to that stage, so that we are able to make a difference, or for our own sake, as we go forward. I just thought I must make that comment so that we are clear going forward. If some of our answers, a lot of questions, are not responded to, they would be belonging. If also from the department, we can give that clarity as well. This question relates to annual reporting, which we then have to respond to at that time. That shall be October or so. Okay, can we allow the department to come to us, the commissioner?
Just one last question, if you allow me. I forgot to ask it while I came to us.
We shall come back for another round. Thank you. Continue.
Let me step by. Thank you. And also, I just want to say to members of parliament, because we are coming for the first time to the new department, though issues are not new, issues really are not new issues. And we had to come and present the whole presentation, which was very long. The reason wanted you to understand how the money is used. We didn't want to summarize this presentation for you. I want to thank you, Chair, for being patient. With me, I have various units in the department. And I know that they've taken note of all the questions. And also, we have many questions related to municipalities. And with me, I also have members of the board that work sometimes directly with the municipalities. They are also free to answer all the questions. Chair, I see what I've noticed in the morning is that some of them are coming for the first time in Parliament. They are not free. So I want them to be free and answer all the questions. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chair, thank you. Thank you, Deputy Minister. Chair, I wonder if I could just try and help just to direct some of the questions to particularly individuals within the department, and then just see whether if we don't get adequate responses, and then we just take it forward as well. I'll take it forward to another meeting, but maybe just have a second round of responses, Deputy Minister, if you would be okay with that. Chair, the points that you've made up front in terms of improving people's lives for the better and enterprise development, I would like CFO Trading Entity just to give us an indication, if you could, to the committee, an indication of what we're doing around the targeted procurement and the program which we're putting in place there. And also, if I could maybe ask, and I'm going to pick on maybe Rand Water and ECTA or any one of the other entities, is to talk about the SME development that they do through the implementation of infrastructure. Now, I'm just picking on them. Maybe it might be another water board that can deal with it. And then I would ask Swana Hangu, my DDG Corporate Services, to deal with all of the questions relating to capacity, vacancies in the department, skills development, the training of our graduates bringing through from school level and how they go through. So if you could deal with all of those, and then I'll just, after he's done with that, then do a second round of allocation, if that's okay with you, Chair. Okay. Board and then, yeah.
Thank you, Chair and members. In terms of our procurement in the department, we realized that we were not necessarily procuring strategically for particular commodities in the department that we normally use. in terms of ensuring that the jobs that need to be created, as well as to ensure that we do the empowerment of our black or our historically disadvantaged people, we then develop the strategies, specific sourcing, that we are interacting ourselves with the Department of TTI, the Department of Trade and Industry, with the Department of Economic Development, as well as Treasury, to see that when we go out and procure, we ensure that all the principles that government stands for are being implemented. Internally, just to give an example, with regard to the consultants that we normally use, because some of the consultants, unfortunately, at the stage, we might not necessarily choose them, but they are strategic to the department. We're talking now about the civil engineers, mechanical engineers, all those big companies that normally deal with the engineering services. We went out on a tender where we ensured that all categories of the companies that are in the industry, from the lowest and to the highest, are actually put on our database and have been allocated jobs. So that the previous disadvantage, because the water sector, Chair, has been a very sort of elected few who have been enjoying in terms of the procurement processes. We have now made sure that even every smaller engineering company can come in and do some work in the department and grow as well into other categories. It's a plan that we believe that it will actually answer the question of creating jobs which are sustainable, and at the same time will ensure that we actually groom our own previous disadvantaged companies to ensure that they actually also participate in the economic benefits, as we are one of the departments that procures the lot in terms of the services that we have. But I hopefully, during the process of the ministers, she will soon elaborate more on the things that we'll be doing in this regard.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. From the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, when we do project implementation and construction, the philosophy that we have, Chairperson, in terms of job creation, empowerment, and creating local enterprise, we focus on a three-pronged strategy. One, for all the big companies, for example, the big five construction companies in the country, which we work with quite often, all of them have a joint venture program, which is largely 25% the E, and then the rest becomes the previously owned company. But the strategy is that for all those companies, when they get jobs from Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, they need to adopt another two black companies. And those companies are not going to do peripheral work, like paving. They do the actual work. So if they're building a dam wall, those companies will be exposed to that. And the intention really is to start building the real experience towards the future. The second objective that we put to those big companies, that those small black companies, which largely most of them are 7CE, ACE, category in terms of CIB, we want to see their turnover having been doubled by the end of the contract. So if they've been allocated 25 million or 50 million, that must be doubled by the time the contract finishes in 3 years. Besides that, Chairperson, we're saying also that when the project has its footprint, the local people must be given opportunities for enterprise development. Young people in that area must be skilled. And more than anything else, the procurement in the local area must be in line with the footprint of the project. So we ring-fence that space in such a way that people benefit from that area. More than anything else, Chair, I think the skills and capacity building become part of it. Just to give you a sense, just in the last fiscal year, we have registered about 3,500 jobs on our project. Now, a lot of them, Chair, would be linked to the tenure of the project. But some of these skills are transferable, because when somebody gets exposed to the real experience of building a dam wall, it's not a job that they cannot sell elsewhere should an opportunity like that arise. So we do emphasize that. The intention, Jefferson, is that ultimately in the end, we should have black companies that are growing in experience and also have an opportunity to start participating in the big tender structure and not subordinate themselves only to the small jobs when being contracted. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you, Jefferson. Just to add on from Renata's perspective, really the strategy that has just been highlighted by DCTA, we sort of follow the same route, but I think it's important just to highlight a few issues that relate to the SME space as well. One of the things that we do as well is to looking at reduced term payments for the previously disadvantaged companies that work with us, because it's quite important. Cash flow is a very key issue in terms of their own space from a point of view of them being able to grow into other projects. We've also introduced the concept of rotation, wherein you find in the water space, you only have a few big companies that operate in that space. So what we started doing is to start by looking at rotating some of the people that get the jobs. But we need to understand that there's a balance between this, because as well, one of the biggest challenges, and I've heard the questions coming from the members, that speaks to what the department is going to do. But we here also humbly looking at the committee and say, we will need your help as well. Because you might find that between different departments, there's conflicting approaches in terms of dealing with matters. As an example, Renota went to National Treasury and requested that we change, a couple of years back, that we change our approach in terms of how do we qualify people that do or that we are tender. We moved from the 90-10 or 80-20 principle to a 40-30-30. The idea was to start now sending the right signal in terms of saying the use of people that were never in this space is quite important and key. But obviously at some point, National Treasury took a decision that we are going back to looking at price only as a major determinant, although you can still use other indicators. So what we say now is dealing with National Treasury, you're looking at simple PFA to say we are isolating certain of the commodities that we buy to say these we want to ensure that the people that will play in that space will now be people that never had access to the space as well. So what I'm saying is on one side I understand the issue of cost, but on the other side if we are serious about expanding and making sure that people that never had advantage are now advantaged to actually play big in these particular spaces. And again, we have some of our projects sometimes are quite big. So as you do that, in most cases you say you need experience and you need to actually, and you will find that by doing that you are excluding some of the people that are at a lower level. That's why, like TCTA was saying, in certain instances we insist when the tender goes out that you need to partner with somebody that is previously disadvantaged, and how we actually ensure that it's not the same people that get the job, it's through that rotation I was talking about earlier. Over and above that, we are looking at other space where we're looking at CSI space, where we're looking at corporate social investment. And I know there's a number of questions that were asked that relates to say, are these permanent or temporary jobs as well that we created? But what we say even in this space, there are projects that we're able to support that are self-sustaining, like looking in the spaces like hydroponics and all that. So some we create permanent jobs in that particular space from a point of view, how we're dealing with this. So the whole idea of saying we need to be able to support SMEs is something that's really part of our DNA from a point of view of how we want to do things. But we understand that there are still challenges that relates to the availability of skill, the availability of money, of funding in terms of what needs to be done. But we are working in that direction to actually ensure that we can make sure that people get, we increase the base, because that will also increase competition in the long run. So it's quite important for government to go there. So thank you, Chair.
I think the water research commission just wanted to make input on that.
Thank you, Chair. Just to say that we're a large and diverse water and sanitation family, but we all work to the same objectives. And in the SMME development domain, we're also using the research enterprise to develop enterprises that are smaller. So for example, in our current portfolio, 29% of the research projects currently run in the Water Research Commission are actually headed up and led by SMEs. And this is very, very unique in the Science Council environment. And then in addition to that, we're using our projects to develop enterprise. So two examples would be, one Honorable Vandela would be very familiar with in the Eastern Cape, is we've used a social franchising model to build toilets and maintain toilets in schools, making the schools hospitable. The inland aquaculture project at the national level, now run by the Department of Agriculture, actually comes out of the research work done by the Water Research Commission. And we're trying to do exactly the same kind of thing in a new model around indigenous food crops. So SME development as a whole and enterprise development is a very key part of our portfolio. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The question of people living with disabilities and whether we have achieved the 2% or not. I normally prefer answering this question because when I was a practicing Mr. Commissioner for 10 years, I was supposed to be monitoring this, and I tried monitoring it, and for 10 solid years, the department never achieved 2%. And I'm sorry to report that even as I sit here today in Water Affairs, virtually no department has ever reached 2%, like we said almost 10 years ago. In Water Affairs, we're now at 1%, but the percentage that we're using is, for instance, we moved the Northwest office out of the office where they were, which was not really the friendly work position in the PC. We moved them to a new office where they can hire new people and people with living with disabilities. We have taken intents, and when we take intents now, we don't take intents only from people able to bring people home, we even take people from disabled communities in our intern program in the department at the moment. I think we already have 4 or 5 of them now waiting for us. We have asked the HR people to go to the disabled people of South Africa and other organizations dealing with this matter to make sure that they get people that are skilled, that are there, and because they are there, that we can utilize in the department. And one of the things, as I said here on, is making sure that the buildings that we have throughout the country for Water Affairs are user-friendly for people living with disabilities. So it is this. Somewhat a painful heart that I have to report on them because I really want to see it succeed. I'm sure that it can be done. So I am applying as much pressure as possible to make sure that it happens. The question on bursaries and training of people. We have a training center where we're training our candidate engineers, and we have 73 million that we spend per annum on this category of people, and we are doing very well in terms of the budget that we have. We said we could have much more budget than we have, but that's a lot of money for now. We've signed memorandum of understanding with 18 institutions of higher learning, the UP, TUT, UCT, you name them, we signed an agreement with them. And what we do is we train students in engineering and other scientific-related fields. We have, since 2007, given 648 bursaries, and we're still maintaining 203 of those bursaries, of which 90 is new allocation for this year. We have placed these students in a department, and 231 of them, of the scientists, engineers, environmental officers that we placed in the department, have been trained by us at the graduate training. We actually won a prize last year as the best training institution in the public service when it comes to training people. So we're very proud as a department about our graduate training program. There is in Grand Water and in another one of our
They are equally doing training, and I think they can give a report on that because I haven't consolidated that part of the report. We have, as has been stated, a high vacancy rate. We would like it to be less than 10%. We are at 18%, 13.9% somewhere. The main reason why we're having it is sometimes when we sign policies in government, we don't expect the unintended consequences of the policies that we have. And one of those policies that I think the portfolio committee can help us with is to question VBSA on the overdue program. Because we're paying a high price as the Department of Social Affairs on the overdue program. I guess should go to OSD's occupational certification. And is this, there was a thought during Minister Gladys Faye's time, there was a thought that if we could make sure that people who are experts in a particular field are paid salaries, then are consumerate with their training, so they don't become managers, it would help us a great deal. Now what has happened is that when you try somebody from outside, that person simply says, you pay me always this salary or I'm not coming. I'd rather remain in the private sector. So we're in a situation where you advertise, you interview, you come for the interview, as soon as they see that you know the salary, either one refuse to take the salary or two, you say you don't have enough experience, you're not 7 years experience to be paid always this salary. Therefore, we cannot take you in this category. You'll create problems for us with people who are already in the system and don't have 7 years, and who will then say, but you've got someone that you hired from outside who hasn't got 7 years experience, and you're paying him, therefore pay us. So in effect, we have this limitation that came about because of the introduction of this policy. Well, it actually has its problematic in many sense, but the major one is that employees who were managers before but had engineering degrees are now saying to you, no, I'm no longer a manager, I'm an engineer now. And they don't want to be managers, they want to go back to engineering because OSD pays higher than some of the directors that we have in government in management. So the employee was benefiting before OSD as a director. He's now saying, I'm no longer a director, I'm an OSD, so he can get paid a higher salary as a specialist. So there are those issues. We are discussing them in the governance administration class. I think the Department of Justice is the one that brought up the subject, and we raised this in the Department of, in the governance administration class, and we'll see what can be done about it. But it's a matter that we think should be looked into to try and see how we can assist. But as a result of that, our vacancies on scientists and related engineers are mostly filled by us taking on the graduate trainees that we have. And the graduate trainees obviously don't have the necessary experience, they've got to be trained. You can't take a young star who's just finished an engineering degree and take them to the safety. As the trains and the dam get flooded, you need to be sure that you've got a qualified engineer that has got a number of experience of years doing that particular job. So those restrictions are part of the problems that we're facing as a department in trying to address some of these problems. The CFO for WTE discussed the issue on consultants and why the department would be using consultants. Now, I say we're not using consultants mainly because we can't hire people in the department. It is primarily because there are certain tools that are possibly better bought by a company than us trying to as a department to buy them. If you've got let me use a simple example, the cranes. If you've got a crane and pick up things for that. It would be cumbersome. It would be very difficult for us to have people maintain cranes
fixing them and buying them and all that. So there are instances where we have no option but to outsource. We're trying to do is that we're reducing that, but trying to make sure that the work that must be done in the department must be done by the department and by the employees in the department. But when that is not possible, between what Mr. Boutier was saying, that we tell companies that are big, with companies that are emerging, and making sure that the emerging companies are being trained to be able to mentor, not trained, to be able to do some of these big jobs that we require, so that you achieve a real BEE in the country, in the water sector. So we're working hard on that, and I'm sure that we're succeeding. You will hear a lot of complaints now later that people cite that and say, but we're giving a small company big business. We are training them. And we're not training them in a leading manner. We're training them with big companies so that the quality does not suffer, but that we achieve the BEE goals that the department has. The issue of temporary employees that has been raised. We build dams. Unfortunately, a dam is something that takes 4 to 8 years to build a. And in that period, the dam comes to an end. So it's very difficult for us as a department to say that we will always hire people on a permanent basis. Because the dam comes to an end. I don't know what to do with the stuff that I would then have if they are permanent. So that's why most of these youngsters that we hire, and we do hire a lot of them, I think 42% of the people who work on our building our dams are less than 35 years of age. They gain the experience of working, they gain the experience of building, and we definitely need to build up a program to make sure that when the dam is finished, that they are able to do our work in their communities that they are related to building. And that's some issue that we need to look into as a department. But we can't promise that we will be able to always have them. And the dams are built in different areas. If we're building a dam in the Eastern Cape, we employ people in the Eastern Cape to make sure that the Eastern Cape has its own people building the dam, and that we don't import people from the Eastern Cape to Limpopo to go and build the dam in Limpopo. So we don't, you know, we don't have to have housing schemes for everybody moving around and migrant labor and all those. It's just too difficult to maintain. So it's much more easier to hire people in an area, they build a dam, and when the dam is finished, we try and see where else we can accommodate people. And if we can't, that's the only reason why we're actually not able to change some of them into permanent posts. Chairman, I think I've covered every question that was asked.
Well, we were very attentive to understand. We were very convinced that you were really enjoying listening to yourself. This is the show of your team.
Jay, thank you very much. I'm just going to try and I'm just ticking off to see that we respond to all of the questions. I want Zandile Mate just to respond to the question asked by Honorable Maluleke, and I must apologize if I don't know all of your names at the moment. It'll come with time. There are a few names I know. So the one with regard to Sona, and if Ntabi Seng, CFO of Main Accounts, can just respond to one on the sending of the budget and the impact, and to make sure that it's spent correctly. And Neil Singh, to deal with the green and blue drop and the regulatory issues. And a DDG plan and information, Deborah Mochukli, to deal with some of the integrated planning issues. But just before they come in, if I could, there have been a number of questions asked around the municipal space and the use of MIG funds. That's a municipal infrastructure grant. That's a fund which is not under control of the department. The MIG funding is under the control of the Department of Cooperative Government and Traditional Affairs. So that comes as a direct grant through the department down to the municipalities. And if indeed the municipalities don't use those funds correctly, it's the Department of COTSA that manages the monitoring and ensures compliance with the conditions of that grant. The four grants that my department is responsible for is the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Grant, the Operating Subsidy Grant, the Municipal Water Infrastructure Grant, and then the other one which is not quite grant is the AACIP, the Accelerated Community Infrastructure Program. So if you could just help me, I won't always be able to answer what happens in some of the municipal space, but just to contextualize it. So if my colleagues could just then answer those questions as I've allocated.
He is not a good example to follow.
Thanks, Honorable. I think if he did mention, but not in details, all the information that was presented by the President, John Connor. And if you also, if members can also look at page 28, most of those projects in page 28 are the projects that the President spoke about. The project has been finished, but we will be getting into the power distribution system, which is already a phase 2C of that is already unfolding, with the other phases being planned to take place during the MTF. The reason of the Glen William is point number 9 on page 78. He also mentioned Umzimbu Water Project and at Mukolo. Those projects are in the zone, just because maybe DG, they are in the presentation. I think DG had limited time. He didn't really give the details, but they are there. But maybe just one point, DG, is that when we also build the dam, see that the minimum it takes to build a dam is 3 years. Within the 3 years, there are also accident problems that we have, where the people that are involved in that, they get trained and then they become qualified accidents. Unlike your municipal infrastructure programs that are very short hours, the minimum it takes about 3 years. So we do get in the process. Might that we don't keep them, but we do even train them. There's a training academy that we have opened and we've since experienced the first graduate from that. They are now artisans. Okay. Oh, there was one item on the SONA which came on the post-SONA document, Chair, where the President also spoke a lot about energy and how water affairs is going to play a role in making sure that we increase the capacity in the country. We did respond by saying that out of the 318 dams that we have in the country, together with the Department of Energy, we are trying to identify a certain number of dams that will then be used for hydropower purposes. That would then be the pilot in the next 3 years. Ideally, you would want to see most dams that have the capability of generating hydropower being used for that. So we will be driving that process together with the Department of Energy. But also, it's also important to mention that we try to make sure that the IPPs, which is the independent power producers, they will let them, the program should be such that it can target the targeted population groups in terms of economic distribution, which will then also make sure that it also, besides just generating energy, it also contribute towards the radical economic distribution that we are talking about. Thanks.
Honorable Chair and members, in relation to the spending of the department, we have since made an improvement to ensure that the spending, the money, monitor talks to the targets by ensuring that we align our APP with the ENE as we develop those documents so that the targets talks to the budgets that will be spent throughout the year. And with regards to ensuring that that budget is spent, we have then also put in place the demand plans, that is the procurement plans that are aligned with the targets, and also ensuring that we monitor the spending on a monthly basis as well as on a quarterly basis. And for those funds that would be transferring to the municipalities, we have a tool that we have put in place in terms of the quarterly reports. And if the municipalities do not abide and not meet the requirements, we do withhold the payments until the requirements are met. And also lastly, in terms of the controls and the internal controls, we have improved in terms of developing the internal control that will look over the inefficiency of the controls in the department. Thank you very much.
Well, Neil comes in, if you could also deal with the IGR issues. When you deal with Green Drop and Blue Drop deal with IGR in relation to the question that was asked, chaired by I've got the list in front of me, I think it would be Honourable Member Besson around modelling in particular.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister. We will try to be brief given the time constraints. The department is basically looking at accelerating its certification program in terms of overall water quality improvement throughout the country. So we have got the Blue Drop and the Green Drop certification program as an incentive-based regulatory approach, which means that we support these municipalities to improve the water quality, the wastewater, and then we have to release these reports. We have to have functions where we give awards and certificates. But I think the bigger focus for us going forward would be to see how we can support the poorer performing municipalities in terms of overall quality improvement. Now, when we deal with the municipalities, we are obviously having to deal with the intergovernmental relations framework. And we apply that principle of the autonomy of the three spheres of government, especially respecting local government. In what we try to do overall, there is quite a lot of work that we have done, but obviously there is room for improvement in terms of what we can do. In terms of my name, there has been a cooperative governance approach to try and deal with the problems there, but that led to investigations and reports, etc., that came forward, which action was taken. But I think the overall approach of how we are trying to regulate it better would be to work with the municipalities rather than try to have them in a conflictual space. Overall, people spoke about licensing, and the department worked with our other departments, mineral resources and water use and environmental affairs. We've been working towards having an integrated licensing approach, which culminated in three pieces of legislation being passed this year. We're basically looking at aligning the time frames and bringing the water licenses with a much quicker turnaround strategy, time frame rather than what we've been having in the past. So we're moving forward with a new team to try and accelerate this process. I think the big concern is that the regulatory impediments are a problem for overall growth of our economy. So in the President's Sona, he did speak about us removing the regulatory impediments and negative obstacles in the path of the growth. So the department is actually accelerating that process as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I had asked Deborah Machoki just to deal with some of the integrated planning. And Chair, if I could just also maybe, in terms of dealing with water quality issues, if it's with not wanting to abuse
the mic that I have left, maybe one of the water catchment management agencies could just indicate the type of work that they do in terms of monitoring and taking corrective action with regard to water management at a local level as well. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, FDG. I'm not aware of any specific question to respond to on integrated planning, but I can indicate that the projects that have been mentioned by my colleague, Zandile Mati, really is a flow from integrated water resource planning. I can also add to that we continuously make sure that the country doesn't run out of water, that we meet, we determine the needs and the demands versus what we have. And also indicate that the planning or integrated water resource planning, as the name says, that it is informed by quite a number of things. It is informed by where the needs are, it's informed by economic development, it's informed right now by the national development by the national development plan. And what you do is also covered in the national water resource strategy. So basically that's that. But then I also to mention that in the latest policy review that has been passed by or approved by cabinet, we are there talking about a full value chain where when we plan for water resource, we also include simultaneously, so to say, the water services and then the supply and distribution part. We're also in the policy talking about progressive realization of higher services. That is that unlike in the past where we would talk about infrastructure development without the supply and the distribution, that we also look at that and we make provision during the infrastructure planning of progressive realization of higher services. For example, we would talk about street types, but at the moment we do make provision or we are intending to make provision for household connections as well. And that we also, now that we are going to be a Department of Water and Sanitation, that we look at the implications of water when it comes to sanitation, especially where we're looking at waterborne sanitation and not the dry sanitation, as could be the ideal way to move to. I think that I will have covered the request.
Can we just get the CMA to come in if I could, and then my DEG infrastructure to come to make a supplementary comment as well, if that's okay with you?
Okay. Good thanks, sir.
With pollution, we have our own system of monitoring in the catchment, and then we try to detect the source of pollution. When those are traced, we blow them up and issue directives. Most of the times, we do get corrective actions, and then the situation is remedied. Occasionally, we do get spills from the mine and then from the industries. We follow it up as well and ensure that cleaning up is done. Where we have a problem, we try to take them on to the courts of law. When it comes to the municipalities, sir, I think we have a problem with the municipalities when it comes to pollution. Because some of the infrastructure is overaged, some of them are overloaded, and then capacity problem in the municipalities. As a catchment management agency, we do investigate and provide advice. We send our team of science and engineers to help with the municipalities. They are accused all the time that they don't have money. So when I hear people talking about the infrastructure grant, I believe that some money is given to them for such issues. More than that, we say if you don't do it, we take it to court. We have sent some of them to municipal managers to the court of law, and that's when they take action. So there is enforcement. We are following that with pollution and recommendations. Thank you.
I think my colleague will also add on.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Really, insofar as pollution is concerned, as I said in the greater area, we do have a monitoring point where we test water on a monthly basis. We send that water for analysis to laboratories and we inform the municipalities. In certain instances, we're joint initiatives with the municipalities. And then in addition to that, we do have regular interactions with municipalities where we talk about issues of water quality. It is very, very important to us being an agricultural area, because the water quality has a direct bearing in the economy of the area as well as the status of our water. And in addition to that, we have realized that we cannot win this battle if SAGA is outside. Hence, we do have SAGA in our learning processes. There are projects that we do jointly with SAGA. I can report that insofar as pollution, insofar as the quality of water is concerned, it has improved drastically. Thank you, Chair.
Just to augment on the response around centralized planning between the 3 years of government, I must say that it has not been happening until last year, last financial year. You will see some of the projects were driven through the source to tap strategy that was introduced here in Parliament, where the department is driving centralized water planning program. It begins with the signing of MOUs between the Premier, the Minister, as well as the head of departments of local government. Last financial year, it was the beginning of the centralized planning. I must say that it was affected by some teething problems, but it worked very well in other provinces. Currently, we have MOUs with 6 provinces where the planning of infrastructure, water infrastructure, is such that now you get water fairs pulling in resources in terms of water distribution system. You get municipalities. And it works very well where you have the premiers driving this process, because they then know exactly the amounts of monies that are there in terms of need. And then they are also pulled into the court. How we work is that we have one project. This project then gets funded by the different spheres of government. The idea is that this project must take water from the dam right up to the tap. In some instances, you then realize that there has also been infrastructure that has been existing, but it needed to be refurbished. What happened is, especially our operations team were brought in to assist with the refurbishment, but the way the projects are packaged is one project. I think it's going to go very well this financial year, because with the projects that we're having, specifically in Limpopo, we're set down with municipalities. And we're only having water projects, not big and not big and LIR, but we're having just one water one program for Kukude, for Vembe, Kukude and Vembe district municipalities. Even the current minister is adopting the notion that says, when there is a dam, we need to make sure that that dam takes water to the people. And how can that be achieved within the current legislative processes? Is that we try it through the MOUs, we plan together, and we're also planning to roll it out to KZN. In Mpumalanga, it started in Bushbuck Ridge towards the end of the financial year. We experienced a problem. It kicked off very well. It's one project funded by the 3 spheres of government with the involvement of the Tabon. We're planning to roll it out to other provinces. We're hoping that it's going to work, but as they're saying, there are still teething problems. But this financial year, you will get the source to get program. Thank you.
Chair, thank you.
Members, as I said, this would have been your first round. I'm very excited in the manner in which, you know, a question down the line can change the form. When I ask a question, promote black business. As time went by, the question got to be historically disadvantaged. It got to be SME. It got to be all sorts of things. And I was very pointed, promote black business. And there's no confusion in what I was saying. It's very clear, crystal, unapologetic. And that's why I meant nothing else but just that. Promote black business. And it went as far as in CSI. That's a dream. Now that's the issue. One would have really wished to see other water boards saying something about that, so that we are on par in what we want to do. as part of our role of oversight over the department and its entities as well. My members, those are some of the we have our last round. I noted you, and then noted.
Thank you, Chairman. I've got two issues here. One is a follow-up question. On page 9 of our APP, 9, I think the first one is that Honorable Baluleke asked about the one of the percentage of disabilities. It's not appearing in the APP. I just want to check if it's if really it doesn't have to be appeared on the APP, since it's one of the money that we must make sure that our people living with disabilities are appointed. I think it would be good if it do appear on the APP. Secondly, on that page 9, under the sub-program, improved organizational performance, and the indicator there is corporate basis, percentage attendance of bench training in line with workplace skills plan. I'm not sure, I just want to check if it was in the manner in which they said it. I know it's percentage and they are answering according to the percentage, but how if they can indicate the number in order for us to be sure of the percentage indicated. For instance, if they plan to train 100 people and they manage to train 80 and they say 30 out of 100 instead of saying 68%, because you might find that the 68% that they're talking about is only two people who have been trained. Going to page 79, under links to the long-term infrastructure and other capital plans, I just want to check at number 16, where there's indicated mobility municipality emergency works, the type of infrastructure is them. And the project description of a refurbished dilapidated infrastructure, then the current project stage is construction. I don't know. To me, it's not clear because Mopani District Municipality is servicing 5 local municipalities. When I check on other project names, it has been indicated it's a little bit clear. Like this one of Nakhoti. It was under Mopani District, but this one of Mopani District Municipality and it's a M. Why can't they indicate the place where the dam is? Even the state, because I'm not sure whether it's construction, they're talking about the whole dam. For one to know exactly the dam, the municipality where the dam is, why can't they put it here for one of us or laymen on the street to understand the project which is taking place and is in the place where the project is taking place? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Well, just a request to the department. I've heard that there is a challenge regarding the OSD post. But I don't think, being here, we must live with that disease until we die. So surely in next meeting or something, I will appreciate that a solution is found to that problem. You cannot expect, to have either a flight designed for 20 wheels, but that flight must use 19 wheels. Surely you will not achieve your goal. So that is my question, that we cannot live with that disease of the OSD host until we leave after 5 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just two questions. One is just a follow-up question.
I asked on the regulating of water tariffs, whether we can get an answer whether the department would look at the same type of structure as on electricity where water tariffs are regulated. And then secondly, I would like to know on your project SEMA, whether there is still a backlog on the issuing of licenses, and if so, why?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm not having a question, but just a concern about this document in front of us here, which has been signed by the Minister, the Chief Financial Officer, and all other 9 managers. If you go to page 52, for instance, you will find that according to the project that are listed there, if you go to number 14-15 or 30-14-15, OR Tabo, Tata Base, bulk water supply, Krizani, district municipality or under Krizani district municipality. As far as I'm concerned, or if I may be assisted, my understanding is that KSD is under OR Tambo, district municipality. Then your Mizana Regional Park water supply is under Alfred Nzo, district municipality, not under Krizani. If you can go to that page. And even in the slides which were presented here earlier on, you will find that what is presented today, you struggle to find it in this APP. So for us to be able to play our oversight role, the information that is presented there, because my understanding is that your slide presentation is the summary of your APP. So you could be assisted on that one. Thank you very much.
Abantu laba bahlala kanje eduze umhosha banento eyisonokabi abayenzayo yikho khona
nami ngiyayizeya manje ukuthi inamantu abamnyama la sikhona ukumzima ukuthi sifuna njalo ukuthi le nto ibona ukuthi ayifanele yona kutholile umuntu uthathe ibudget wazoyifaka la eduze komfula bakayazi le nto yokuthi if uthathe i-toilet ulimisale eduze komfula thathe indla indle or udoti lola ihelenayo ukhiphele emfuleni yayizwa loo nto kukugulisa lokhu yazinye izinto la ukuthi abantu abamele basifana na engabevuma ukuthi sinenkinga ngoba if nokuthiyayireporta vele kuyikansela ikansela ikansela lonto noma lithatha even izindikhona bayayithatha bayitshina abanendlabo kuthi omunye engezasiphula manzi yinkinga esibhekene nazo bengithi ilokho zokuthi bangithi singadini njengoba hleli ngathi ngasiwumlomo wabantu abasenza ukuthi sibe la and kubalulekile ukuthi izinto siyibeke ngolonini futhi angasenza kunini ukuthi nami sengiyakunoma uthe ingane hambe yothenga isinkwibuya itising hayi ngisuke singekuyalalela mele isiyisila ukwazi kobheka uthisizanpela kulamuntu and yabona indaba yamanzi lama-toilet inkinga enkulu nezindlu lezo zinto although singakhulumi-ke ngakho thina la nabengicela abantu yakwethu ukuthi ekayendlula mpela le-research ukuthi niyobheka ukuthi i-deriva iyangempela ngoba noba even ziyay abantu bengabayi bovoto
What she said was, she was seeking clarity regarding the people from rural area, regarding them getting their needs. Are they getting their needs according to their party affiliations? Is there certain boundaries that must be overcome for them to be able to get what they need? And secondly, she said that you might assume that water doesn't finish, but if you go to the area, from Umbo, the area, there's no water as you speak. The water is very polluted, and you find plantation that is growing on the water because the water is not being cleaned. She also stated that pollution is a huge problem, and the fact that we need to sit down and find solutions to attend to this problem, because certain areas, as she said before, there's no water, the water is polluted, and there's been plantation. She also spoke about a certain situation where people are renting toilets next to rivers, and hence when they're using toilets, the scum is going in the river, and other people who might be using the water elsewhere are being affected. So we need to educate these people, we need to find solutions to this. She also stated that as members of parliament, there are people voices, so they need to speak on behalf of people. Follow-up must be done to ensure that people's voices are heard and to ensure that people's needs are met. She said that even though this is not a committee on housing, houses is also one of the issues that needs to be attended to, was one of the issues that are affecting people.
Sorry, yeah, very quick. I want to draw the department to page 57. I raised an issue in relation to monitoring of the grants, municipal water infrastructure grants that are given to municipalities as to whether I spent on what is intended for. And I'm not able to respond. I just generalized it, but I want to be specific now. If you look at project number 39, that project, I think it was a disaster declared in 2008. It was commissioned 2009 and 2010. Even today, it's almost four. That project, even next year, is not going to complete. And when you tell us that you are monitoring, what do you mean? Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, for the pages we under review, this one on page 52-53. These are projects that I think might have started 2013 or before this year. But can it be, Chairperson, that we put more pressure to the department? We do an oversight.
we pick projects here. Not them picking projects for us. We pick projects for them. And then we organize to go into the oversight. More especially those projects that have been highlighted here are not in completion and the like. And I'm here because I see something like a project like NLO Water Supply, Sugar Rikwa. I will be visiting myself there to share what's really happening with those projects. And then a last teacher person. Hey, officials. And prayer. If Ole Salo Ole, wake up if you are asleep. If you are you have woken up, start to walk. If you have been walking, start to run. If you have been running, add an adjective, run faster. Or rather you fly. So that we end up all these cries from the community. You are not doing for me, for the president, for you. You are doing for yourself. Because the generation that will come will blame us for the work we did not do during our time. That's my request. That's why we are enjoying the benefits the department is giving you. Make sure that the benefit, the figures of the benefit that you got is left to the people, the masses, and the generation that will come. What is the necessity? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Chair. The response, Chair, have led us to what we were looking for, particularly the mandate of our organization. We have had some practices there and there. What we need, Chair, is implementation. But to see that we are going there, every member is pointing where he comes from. The demon, what they are earlier, that shows that we are going somewhere. I also can point that in Murtila we have 3 bills to address the issues of water. It's in the document here, which is busy contracting. This shows that we are going somewhere. We just request, because sometimes we have good plans and policies, but implementation is too slow, Comrade Deputy Minister. If we can address that implementation part, we are going somewhere. Thank you, Chair.
Now you have the very last one. Mama.
She started off by thanking the person such as yourself first, because it seems like they're dedicated to what you're doing, and it seems like you're the one this needs to be met. And then she directed the son to the gentleman, who she referred to as the son. She referred to the area of her own area at Mapumulo, where when there's been heavy rain, children don't go to school because they can't cross the river. There's no bridges. She then referred to an alcoholic substance which is not legal, which has a red color, which is sold by people in rural areas. She said that people have a problem because they find themselves having to drink water of that color. When the water has been polluted due to the rain, the water changes color, and people are forced to drink that water. She also said that she should be grateful to the officials who report back on a regular basis. So there's a communication link between the officials and the members. She said maybe perhaps you might need to take a helicopter, and maybe you might need to take a bus together with you, with the officials, to accompany them to these specific areas, so that you can see with your own eyes, so that you can see for yourselves what sort of problems she is referring to. She said that, as I said before, that children are not able to attend school because there's no bridge for them to cross over. And she said, with politicians, it seems as if people are important when elections are getting closer, and when they've got the vote that they need, it seems as if people are pushed away. So she said that she's thankful that you are here, and she wishes that you can communicate on a regular basis so that you can go forward, so as you can find the solution to these water problems.
If I would just do quickly run two quick ones. One clear help to the comments from members is that we really need to talk more practical than theory. We need to talk more practice in terms of doing the actual work expected of us. One example, for instance, with this regards would be that the 2% expected for your staff complement, we be able to get a sense of way forward in that regard. So that it practically says your new intakes must take this in account. That's what the message comes by. Come financial year next, we have a sense of direction. Now that practice refers to. Another practice refers to is number of consultants that we have. Granted, these are engineers, these are technical skills, and so on and so forth. But that's what gives me Deputy Minister all the time. The Eastern Cape is a public works department, but it outsources to Kuka Development Corporation most of its work. Why do you have a public works department? You have water departments that has go out there in the marketplace and force that skill out there. But yet within government rather, you have a department called public works. And that talks to me about capacity. Because you're supposed to be having the plethora of your engineers within that department. It's a department that is supposed to be looking after all government public works, including water affairs. Instead of having to go out there and spend so much millions and billions of rands that are warranted elsewhere for us to be able to do our work. One question that I would have had would have to be dealing with the data book that you have. I read somewhere where municipalities' data has been currently, I can't remember what the figure is, but your previous of 10 deaths at some point, I think, with rainwater owed to by the municipalities. And for me, the simple issue there relates more to the plan. Because it's an ongoing process. It's not coming to an end. Municipalities are owing. granted, there are issues related to capacity for the municipality to really talk serious revenues. But in terms of delivery and capacity for that, you get water municipalities from these water boards. Now, to understand it, one of the plans that we have as water boards, to really begin to say, of course, assisted by the department, the municipalities that they come to a close at some point. Granted, now you have a current, you have outstandings, and come next financial year, not even financial year, in a few months to come, I can't see that it's taking away at all. And what are the plans that we have for that?
Chair, thank you very much. I'm going to just get my staff just to help me again. The issues raised by Member Bilankulu, I think it is. Got that right. Got it right. Just around the disability being part of the APP and the improved organization, I'm going to ask Squire to deal with that. And I'll ask him just to be shorter than the last input that he made. Zandile and Mario, just to deal with the Mwani ones, the issue raised by Member Shirembe, which around OSD, I think it's a statement, don't come back and talk around OSD, come back with a solution. We've taken note of that to you, Honourable Chair. The issue around raised by Honourable Besson, in terms of the follow-up on regulating your tariffs across the value chain, if I could just quickly deal with that. We are reviewing the current water tariff policy, but at the moment that tariff policy deals with the tariffs supplied by the department and also by the water boards. But one would like in the future to have some regulatory arrangement that will regulate tariffs across the value chain, whatever that model is, but that's some work in progress in the department. And if you look at the one of the outputs in Outcome 6, the issue of tariffing is covered there as one of the issues to be dealt with. The other aspect raised by Honourable Besson around Project at SEMA, the current backlog is 221 licenses. That's the backlog pre-2011. One of the difficulties in resolving those 221 is that 174 of them have outstanding information from the applicants, which we're trying to follow up with. Currently, the number of licenses that we're dealing with in progress is in the order of 1,049. The issue raised by Honourable Member Garlo, I hope I've got it right. Honourable Member, the errors in the APP, my apology, we'll make those corrections. And yes, indeed, the APP was signed off by a number of individuals, and unfortunately, those typing errors creep in, and my apology for that. We'll correct them and have it around them sent out. The issues related by Honourable Member...
I'm afraid one of the members is asleep. I don't know whether... He's not interested or what. Look, so long he's been sleeping. This gentleman.
If you don't mind, you can step out and get some fresh air. Thank you, sir. I'm walking you up also myself as well. But quietly.
Honorable Chair, the issue raised by Honorable Member Kaula. In the KZN area, I would ask one of the water boards that operate in that area, maybe Gani or Platuzi, just to maybe reflect on some of the pollution problems that are reflected there. The issue raised by Honourable Makondo, our Honourable Chair on MWIC monitoring, I'm going to ask the
CFO main accounts and Dobby Singh just to talk around the monitoring of the MWIC program, the Project 39 in Guyana, which has been on the books for quite a while. If my memory is correct, and I'll ask one of my staff just to help me, but I do think there's a legal issue around some of the issues related to that, and that's the either Mopane District Municipality or the Mopane. But just if one of my staff can just help me there on my failing issue. The issues raised, Honourable Chair, by Honourable Member Nguni, if I've got it right, around us not sleeping and flying. We take note of that and we take it very seriously, and making sure that we leave a legacy in terms of the benefits that we get out of out of what we get as a benefit out of working for government. Honourable Moleka, you raised the issue around the mandates of the organisation and around implementation, around issues in Moratele, and there Mahali's water would also just be able to give us some insights around the issues with regard to water supply in the Moratele area. Honourable Member Kaula then raised a few issues around Kapapulo. Have I pronounced it correctly? I hope I've pronounced it correctly. In terms of water quality, and I've just asked one of the KZN water boards just to respond to that. I'm not going to respond to the alcoholic substances and the bridges, but I think the point is taken, Honourable Chair, that in terms of report back. Chair, the issues that you raised from the Chair, in terms of talking at a practical level, certainly we'll take that on and come down, right down to project and implementation level through our engagement going forward. You also raised the issue of the 2% the disability targets, which I will just ask my colleague once again to respond to my colleague former King, Squire Hangu. The use of consultants, the point is taken. Chair, in your comments around the use of public works, they should have a reservoir of engineers from us to tap on. If one does look at the profile of the number of technical staff within government departments, I think currently the Department of Water Affairs is quite far ahead of the Department of Public Works in terms of technical staff and the profile of those technical staff within the department. So we don't rely to a great deal on the Public Works Department for providing engineers, but they certainly monitor and manage the regulatory environment around the CIDB and the built environment issues which fall within their mandate. And then I would ask the water boards just to respond, Chair, to your question around the municipal debt and the plans to deal with that municipal debt. I think I've got all the questions that were asked, and I think I'm in the names right now as well. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, the issue raised on money for people with disabilities, I want to thank the committee for raising it. I think it's a very brilliant idea that I will raise the governance and administration class of governance tomorrow to say perhaps the Department of Social Development that deals with women and children and people living with disabilities should set a standard for everybody, that the budget must clearly show that every department, including us, on how we budget for people living with disabilities. Like, it becomes a measurable thing because what gets measured gets done. So I'd like to thank the committee for this very brilliant idea. The issue of indicating percentage on work skills, I agree too. That's another brilliant idea, that we don't say percentage, that we give you the numbers. But what we really intended to was that out of the 5,900 or so people that we employ, we would see 90% of them. But I think we would get a more specific number and then put it in the APP instead of putting it as a percentage. The challenge with the OG posts, we have engaged through IHS for Minister Mukonyane and Deputy Minister Tresta when we met with them. We have engaged the Department of Public Works on retired engineers. They have a program on retired engineers. And we're trying to get those retired engineers to occupy some of the posts that we have on OSD. And we have, quite as I said, the matter, the GNA cluster. Sadly, we have developed, and this is a matter that we would have to take forward with the new ministers, we developed a secondary structure for OSD posts in the department up for about 209 posts that are linked to OSD, that they do not require OSD requirement, but they could give us engineers. We'll raise that question again and see, and then we can take it forward. Those are the questions that came on HR. Tell all of them.
Just before the next person answers, the acronym which Ms. Mahlangu used, the GNA, that's the Governance and Administration Cluster. Just I can't recall whether it was used in its full context before. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. On the issue of mobile emergency work, I think you are right, honourable member. It is not a dam, it's a pipeline. It was a refurbishment of a pipeline. It's the project, the refurbishment is complete. We're moving to the, if you're familiar with the area, there's a right main that we will be implementing around the Namitwa area. It's called Ambanani right main. Yeah. So that project is linked to the pipeline. But in terms of the dam construction taking place in Mobani, I think you must rest assured Namitwa before end of this initial year would have started because we've completed the design. The reason why Namitwa is delayed, and I know that you've been waiting for a long time, is the fact that the design came with a very beautiful beach, which was going to be costly. We then requested that we perhaps look at cost-benefit analysis of diverting the road vis-à-vis the bridge, and it looks like we will be diverting the road, and the diversion of the road, that's the one that we're thinking that we want to start with it before end of this financial year. So we are busy with those designs. That will then supply your area in Mopani, in Namitwa 8. We will also be raising the Sanin Dam. The construction of the rain of the Sanin Dam will start next financial year. But for this financial year, we're really hoping that we're going to start with Namitwa, especially the preliminary works towards Namitwa 10. Thanks.
In relation to the monitoring of the MWIC allocations, when we started with this program, which was interim supply, all the monies were allocated to the municipalities as the direct grant as Schedule 5. Through the monitoring that we were performing and identified that some of the municipalities do not have the capacity in terms of spending, and also that the money has spent not to what it's meant for. We then have revised the approach of allocating the funds, and there are a number of municipalities in this current financial year where the grant has now been diverted to Schedule 6B, where the monies will be monitored and control over by the department in terms of the appointing of the service provider. So that is part of the control that we have put in place. And we then engage with those municipalities to ensure that they improve in terms of the controls of the spending of the money. Thanks.
My colleague maybe want to respond on the Kiani issue. The Mopani, you will see in newspapers, there seems to be some challenges, legal wrangle between the municipality and the service providers regarding the funds that were diverted from the department to Mopani on one of their pipelines. So there are those delays, but they are being resolved. I think this issue was just on the verge of resolving them, and there is also some indication of change of leadership. We are engaging with Mopani, and as I said, that there are districts that have been targeted, that we need to complete the source to tap infrastructure Mubani, unfortunately, because it's linked to Nandoni, was the two dams that we want to take a source to tap. Nandoni also distribute to Mubani, and to some extent we are flagged as one of those that I would like to check in this financial year. Hope we'll finish next financial year.
Chairperson, with regard to the municipal debt, in terms of the plans that we have to deal with, I want to indicate that we have in several occasions engaged the municipalities with the turnaround projects where we get into assisting them to upgrade their situation so that they can be able to collect. So I think the challenge that we're having is that even if it's something which I think COVID, maybe the portfolio committee can help us on the to engage COVID, because even when they collect, the relationship between the district municipality and their local municipalities is so sour that the money is not transferred to the WSA or Water Health Authority, with which then they should be paying the water board. So from the water board, we do engage them and assist, but then the flow of money from the local municipality, the district, and then the water board, that becomes a challenge that and that requires the engagement of maybe the COPDA in that regard. Thank you.
The other water boards also, I see Metallo Water and Ram Water also just want to respond on the data board.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members. The issue of debts to municipalities is a two-pronged challenge. The first one relates to work that gets done by water boards through the implementing agents, you know, for some of the programs that the municipalities are rolling out. That one should actually be easy if the transfers of the DORA could be amended to allow low-capacity municipalities to agree to the transfer of funds from the department that's actually responsible for that event straight to the implementing. Because there's no value created by transferring the money to the municipality. The municipality thus becomes an ATM. Work is done elsewhere, but all they do is that's just to confirm that whether that work has been done. And in the process, there are lost invoices, there are disputes, there's change in officials. The second aspect of the money that comes in relates to the supply of bulk water to municipalities. The issues that sit there are issues that perhaps going forward through the department we need to be working closer. They relate to the unconscious competition or the inappropriate translation of the water authority function. I think the DG has made this very clear that the Municipal Structures Act, when it relates to water service authority, that is within the Schedule 4 of the Constitution, where the role of local government is clearly indicated to be that of distribution and regulation, not the provision of the bulk water. That function of bulk water, whatever it is a responsibility that's shared between the water service and the entities. Now, some of that is deliberately withholding those payments so that the water boards could collapse. This is what I call unconscious competition, because we're a unitary state. We should not be getting into a competitive space that allows our institutions to collapse because of the level of authority that we're claiming. That authority is there to deliver to same communities. I think that's the second point in terms of processes. The other third element of these debtors relate to some of the support that institutions like ourselves provide in terms of operations and maintenance support, where you would find that the water boards in particular are good at operating infrastructure. Municipalities love to build new infrastructure, but the problem is that they build, neglect, and reinvest.
So we always say that the water boards are actually in a unique space to actually operate that infrastructure properly. And maybe the solution needs to be looked as to the infrastructure that government is investing in, how to make sure that it continues to produce for the communities and avoid this short-term O&M contracts that get used in a delinquent manner and erase a lot of the data that you have used.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted just to look at two areas. The first one is, acting DGM, probably the issues that members have been talking about, especially on the issue of disabilities, might actually not be a full reflection of the sector as a whole. My suspicion is would now be that the figures that have been raised relate to the department itself, because if there's a consolidation in terms of the work that has been done by other institutions such as Water Board, I do believe that maybe perhaps we better than 1%, because just speaking on behalf of Rainwater, and I'm looking at the committee members, we are sitting at 4.3% in terms of disabilities, and I do believe that other Water Boards, when they start now giving information on that, perhaps the sector is not sitting at 1% this group, so probably it might be worth looking into that as well from a point of view of a consolidated view. But coming to the example that the chairperson has made as well in terms of outstanding debt, we are saying that there is movement, and I think there's one member that says we need to start flying now. But it does look like the other departments as well are coming to the party in terms of this particular issue. There are what I'll call processes in place that we're supposed to be engaging with, especially talking to provincial government, talking to municipalities, and the processes that we need to follow in terms of trying to make sure that we've captured. In certain instances, I think it's a matter of how we've been put here, because you'd have the current amount that is owing and all that, but we need to look at the percentage outstanding and look at how long it's been outstanding. In our case, just being for Rainwater, obviously, because we've just taken all of Bushbuck Ridge, which is an area that has a lot of problems, that's going to have an impact on our books. But what we're saying is, you have Manibay and Bushbuck Ridge, which are under administration at the age, so that would now have the debt sitting there for longer than would be normal. But the other area would now be that the issue that has been raised by some of the members in terms of coming back to the issue of equitable share, should it be unconditional or should it be on the basis of what our government allocates the money to? And I think it's a debate that we need to bring back, because as long as money is allocated by government to be used for particular outputs and it gets used somewhere else, it creates a problem. But what we're saying is we're starting to engage with the national treasury and provincial treasurer, and they are starting to refer the municipalities back to us. So there is some movement in a positive way from a point of view of dealing with these issues. So I'm just saying it's not all doom and doom. There are some processes that if we take to, we can actually make a turnaround on some of these issues. Thank you.
Through you, Chair. I think the acting DG had asked what we were supposed to get a sense of response to Honourable Member Kaula's issue. In that of Mapumulo particularly. As Umgeni Water, we have just commissioned a new water works in Mapumulo last year. And currently we are building a dam. This water works in the Sum Buchani River in Buchani, and right now we're building a dam there in Buchani, which will then supply the water works. But needless to say that currently the water works is fully commissioned. We are working with this. We're just using a pipeline as we're drawing water directly from the river. But with us having to have a dam, we'll then be able to double the capacity of this water house, and we'll be able to supply the area of the whole area of Mapumulo. The area within Southern Indoor will be augmented with the scheme that we're implementing, which is the Great Amphora scheme, which will then supply all those areas. So what I'm trying to say, therefore, Chase, areas that honourable member Kaula was raising are being attended to. Yes, there will be teething problems from the litigation side, which is already the issue. But we're working hand in hand with the Lembe municipality, district municipality, to make sure that the litigation lines
status so they'll be able to access or take or do an offtake from the water that's been providing from the backside. So the problems might be there, but needless, but with effect, we believe that within the next 2 years, the whole area of Mapumulo will have water and possible water will be of the next standard. As far as the municipality is concerned, one of the issues that we believe is mainly the root cause is the non-revenue water from the municipal side, whereby they take a lot of water from ourselves, but then what they're selling on the other hand and actually collecting them on is very low. Just to give you a scenario, within the province of KZN, the average non-revenue water with just the customer that you're working with is sitting about 35%. Now, which means if you're taking 100 liters and you're only collecting 75 liters of that, that is what you're being, by the way, not necessarily collecting. The other 35% is not even billed. So you end up having a scenario where approximately the collection is sitting at 50%. And then it puts a strain on their ability to then pay us. Needless to say that even that 50% will still be identified or diverted to other areas of operation within the municipality. So it's a systematic issue that I believe that us and also the other sector departments such as water and National Treasury will have to at some point actually how do we arrest the situation, particularly when there will be curveballs thrown into the scenario such as the issue of engines and the ability or the ability of the people out there to even pay for the water itself, even those that you are dealing. So I believe that the multifaceted team from that level, including COCA and National Treasury and Water Affairs, it will then assist perhaps to come up with much more creative solution of even saying how the cross-subsidization might work in relation to those that we know will definitely not be able to pay because we just keep accumulating balances without actually getting any revenue on hand. And particularly when the administration is in, it becomes more difficult. The issue of black empowerment from any perspective, Chair, because I remember, Chair, you mentioned that you would like to see us saying an aspect. We're working on the same scenario as the FCCCA and Renvolta is working, whereby the work that goes to the big five construction companies, and if I, without even 85% golden rule, that goes to black and local economic entities. So we are emphatic on this one, that 85% of the work that you do, of value of the contract must go to black companies, as in black companies share in their emphatic nature, and it must be locally oriented companies, so that then you create industrialists within the area that you're operating in, and black industrialists that will be able to compete in the future with big companies out there. Thanks.
Thanks for those responses. So I think we are getting somewhere. It is our third session as we get up to work. We find ourselves literally hitting the ground running. There is no measure of any induction. There is no measure of any training for us members to engage. Of course, we did get those few day sessions. But dealing with real issues, the practical part of any work or training, it gets to be quite an issue. I think we will have to structure our work as we go forward. There's been so much interest on infrastructure projects in the respective constituency areas. There is definitely an area of policy that we need to venture into. Whether you're talking about legislation that needs amendments or any related included there shall be your citation component that has to be incorporated. Serious issue of trade. We've just been dealing with the debt by municipalities now among tariffs. It can go on. Research and development, and then of course my last area there would be training and development. Now here for me, having just had this preliminary session, areas I've just picked up of course, we shall advance this further going forward. Really structuring our work as we move forward. If we are to see progress, because, and again, it has to do with managing or measuring what you managing what you want to measure. How does it work? You measure. If you measure, you are able to manage. So that structuring for me should talk too much to measuring what we really want to do over the next financial year, over the next 5 years. So we shall still have to go through our own strategic planning as Parliament and really get to say what we want to achieve within the next 5 years. We shall have to do that. And of course, also would be very pleased to learn from the department as well as to what is the medium term planning has to be. Now, these are the areas that going forward we shall be expected to deal with. As three members, we are expected to, out of this whole session that we had, we are expected to come together again and consider a report of how our interaction with the department went by. Within which time then we shall be expected to adopt such a report so that we are ready for that budget debate for the department and its entities to decide of their budget. It must be the very last time that we see somebody sleeping in our committee meeting. It must be that's because we have work to do here. We have not come here to play. We are all aware that the perception out there is that members of parliament will come sleep in parliament. Now it is being proven differently this time around. So we really don't want to see that happen, otherwise we can take the drastic measures as parliament on such instances. I think members, we have come to the close of our session for today. There is key outside. The Deputy Minister shall assist us as we close. Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. I thought you were good on Chair. I just want to thank you, Chair, and all of the members. We've taken all your concerns very seriously. The Minister, who is known for Lamkonyane, who has attended the cabinet, is one of those that are very active. I know her very well. I think one of the reasons why the President decided to set up this department, he wanted to make sure that people, even in the rural areas, get clean water. I do want to say to members that identified errors on this, the way we call the church. And we are appearing for the first time. And I know that I promise that we will do the job. And both of us, myself and the minister, intend to go and see this project. We will be visiting all the provinces. We will do roadshows to make sure that what is here in the paper, we see it. And I promise that wait and see. We are going to run. Thank you very much.
The research is to be somewhat end of July, first week of October. But I was just concerned with the committee secretariat here that we might just have to, because when we come back a week of our time, it will accord that opportunity for us to go on some oversight visit. So we shall try and see how best we structure our program, that make use of that 1 week and go out on an oversight visit. Now, I think we have done very well first time around, first day. I was just asking the committee secretary a difficult question to me. What constitutes 100 days for a member of parliament? Whether your day in committee, or the days you spend here at work, or physically July 2nd, counting each day until 100 days. Food for thought. Thank you, members, and thank you, Minister. There is key of time for some of us who want to have it.
Something was constituting. And within it was worse. The whole weekend it was extra.
Yeah.
On Friday it was too late. On Thursday it was here to profit midnight.
No way.
Then I am glad I
did.